Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Bill and Wendy were talking the other day with Rich Lenkoff, who is the host of the Legal Face-Off podcast at WGNradio.com and Capital member of Bryce, Downey, and Lenkoff, the law firm in town. And they were asking him about if the president says that it is maybe illegal for Michael Cohen to tape his conversations, is that correct? Now, I had read that in the state of New York, you don't have to tell somebody if you're taping them. And I think, Rich, you'll back me up on that, right? In this case, in New York, Michael Cohen had no obligation to tell the president he was taping him, if, in fact, he was his attorney, right?
Correct. You're absolutely true. That's absolutely true. In New York, unlike Illinois, only one party has to consent to the conversation being recorded for that recording to be legal. Illinois, on the other hand, requires both parties to a private conversation to consent. So what Michael Cohen did in taping his client, and whether he was in fact his client is a whole separate discussion, but what he did in recording the conversation with Trump was legal, probably not ethical, but definitely legal.
In Illinois, I want to talk about that. That's why I asked you to come back on. And I know you and Bill and Wendy had a very good conversation, but there was just a couple things that I wanted to ask particularly about this. In Illinois, both parties have to know in a private conversation. And it doesn't matter if either of you are attorneys, if it's just two citizens talking and one of them wants to record the conversation, if they have to tell the other person they're recording it.
That's true. It doesn't matter. Certain privileges apply to relationships like attorney and client, but that doesn't mean that any regular people having a conversation, can record it unless both parties agree. Now, remember that it's a private conversation, which means you can go out and tape a confrontation between the police and a citizen. That's why all cell phone videos are legal. And why is that? Because those are public conversations. Those are public engagements where there's no expectation of privacy.
So my spouse and I are not getting along. We may be getting a divorce, and she or he is always saying these terrible things about what they're going to do to me or the kids. And so I'm going to privately record that so that my attorney will know, and he'll know that I know what that other person is saying. That seems to me to be prudent. That's not legal?
Not in Illinois. Not since in 2014, Governor Quinn at the time signed the Illinois Eavesdropping Act. If you recall, this was in the wake of a couple high-profile cases, including some cases involving people taping police encounters. Before this statute came into place, Illinois was really sort of the Wild West when it came to these issues. But in 2014, the Illinois Eavesdropping Act was signed into law. And to answer your question, it is illegal for a party to tape the conversation between them and the other party, regardless of the circumstances, unless both parties agree.
Well, even if that conversation is on the sidewalk?
Well, that's a great question. That's where the question of whether it's public or private comes in, right? So the sidewalk is one of those gray areas. And most people who have tested this law in court have, the question usually comes down to the court, usually comes down deciding whether the conversation is private, because the other elements of the statute are pretty clear. It prohibits the use of any eavesdropping device in a surreptitious manner. Those two elements are pretty clear. Eavesdropping device is something that you use to record something, like an iPhone or like a phone. Surreptitious manner is pretty clear. That means it was done with deception or secrecy. The key question in these cases is whether it was private. Now, if you're talking to someone, in the privacy of an office or to your attorney or to your doctor, it's pretty clear that that was meant to be private. If you're talking to someone on the sidewalk to answer your question, or, even at the water cooler at your firm or your office, is that a private conversation? Probably not. And the definition, according to the Act, is whether a reasonable person would have the expectation that conversation would be private.
It's funny how
many
people...
that's a gray area. You know, you often see this reasonable person standard applied in a lot of different areas of the law.
It's just funny how public people are, though, with their private conversations. I was walking down the sidewalk along Michigan Avenue today, and there was a woman who she was upset with her boyfriend, and she was talking to him with a phone that is in her pocket, and then the microphone is attached to her earbuds, and so she doesn't have to do anything but walk and talk. And everybody around her knew what the issues were and how they were and were not getting along. You could not avoid it if you were with her. But I don't want to dwell on that because I want you to answer as succinctly as you can some more specifics. So I'm negotiating a raise with my boss, and he's been promising a raise or some perk, and I'm not getting it. I'm going to go in there and record the next time we have a conversation and he promises it. And then when it doesn't happen, I'll be able to prove that he promised that. Now, if I say, hey, I'm going to record this, well, then he's not going to say the things that, in fact, he's been saying all along. So I'm going to record it privately. I can't do that, correct?
You can do it, but you're committing a Class 3 felony
in our
state.
Fine. And then what about this? I'm going to go ahead and do that. But at least I'll know. I mean, I will have that proof. Is that the breaking of the law or the use of that, the breaking of the law?
Well, it's the use of it. I mean, you know, if you do it and no one knows about it and you never use it, I mean, it's like, you know, a tree falling in the forest. I mean, if you don't use it, then technically you've committed a crime, but it's the using it that really gets you in trouble. So if you record it, never use it, no one knows about it, as a practical matter, you know,
the instances, I'm not mad at you, but I'm just kind of incredulous.
Sure.
Where that would benefit the person secretly recording it. An abusive relationship where the guy is verbally or mentally abusing somebody or is threatening to once again physically abuse that person, and you can't get the cops or some advocate to believe you. I've got it on tape now, but no, I can't do that.
Well, no, again, you can't do that, that's true. And, you know, to answer your earlier question, the Act says you can't capture it. So the capturing it is the illegal part. So, you know, even if you don't use it, the fact that you've captured it, meaning you've recorded it, that violates the law, again, if it's a private conversation and you haven't received consent.
And so then I go to my attorney or to a judge or a jury or somebody and say, well, all right, I know I broke the law. But listen to this damn thing. He promised me a raise, or he verbally abused me and my children, or something. That's not that doesn't exist in a court, right? That would never be submissible. You could not use that in any productive way, is what you're telling me.
Correct. I mean, using
I'm going to change that law. That has got to go.
Well, using it, you know, again, you're talking about two very dramatically different things. Using it because you wanted a raise and your boss says no. You know, I'm sure that's not a huge, you know, in
no, he's always saying yes. He's always saying yes in these meetings. And then when I finally press him on it, he goes, no, I didn't say that. I go, yes, you did. You've been saying yes all year long. I've got these tapes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, the law is pretty straightforward that you cannot do that without the consent of your boss if it's a private conversation. And if you do, you've committed a Class 3 felony. If you do it twice, you know, obviously the severity of the punishment is escalated.
All right. Another scenario.
Sure.
I'm just going to go ahead and tape this conversation we're having. And I know it's illegal, but afterwards I'm going to come up and tell you, no, I've got you, buddy. I've got you. Listen to this. And I'll play the tape back. And I'll just say, just so you know, I've got this on you. Now, if that person is smart, they're saying, fine, but you might as well not because, well, you might be able to embarrass me with that or blackmail me with that. It's not legally supported. You can't cash in on that. I guess you could cash in on that. Listen to my mind work here. If I blackmailed you with it, because even though I might be admitting to have committed a crime, the revelation might be so embarrassing to you that you'd still pay me for the tape.
Or a couple things. I mean, if I was your attorney, I would warn you about civil liability for doing that also, in addition to criminal liability.
Yeah.
You know, I would sue you privately for a variety of things, including defamation, including, there's lots of things you could sue someone for under those circumstances. But, yeah, I mean, I suppose you could threaten that, but to your earlier point, if I was the victim, so to speak, and I was aware of this law, I would say go ahead, you know, but you're running the risk of committing a felony.
I'll see you in court. Okay, listen
exactly.
To this. All right, so here's a texter. Lots of texts, lots of calls. This one says, hey, John, I'm a private investigator, and I have a body camera right on my shirt, invisible at all times. If I'm serving legal papers, that camera is on, and people can see it. Is that legal? I wonder if the very fact that I'm wearing that device, he's wondering, is sufficient notice.
Well, I mean, it depends on whether, you know, wearing... I haven't seen a case involving a body camera serving a paper. That's a very specific circumstance, right? But, you know, again, the key in the law and the key in the way the cases or the law has been interpreted by the cases is whether that conversation is public or private. In that circumstance, you know, I think that if you're out in public and you're serving the paperwork or the subpoena or whatever, there probably wouldn't be an expectation of privacy in that circumstance. And again, you know, that's not really a conversation. I mean, you know, it's legal to serve someone with paperwork and record it. That's not really recording a conversation.
So I do have a question. So if you're rolling already and you tell someone, just so you know, I'm recording, and then they continue to talk, at any point when they say, no, I don't want this recorded, what they say past that is not legal?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to affirmatively tell you, you know, if you simply tell them I'm recording and they don't answer, I think they've got a pretty good case, as with
right.
the state's attorney,
I think you're
that
right.
they have not given consent. The act is fairly clear in stating that they have to give consent. So it's not enough that you simply say I'm recording and, you know, their absence of agreement is enough. They have to affirmatively agree in order for that recording to be legal.
So it's not enough just to give them a warning, like, hey, anything you say now is recorded.
I think I know the answer to
this.
Yeah,
because then you would get into the circumstance of, well, did you really say it loud enough? Did they understand? You know, the framers of this particular act didn't want to get into that. So, you know, and remember, Illinois is in the minority. I mean, most states allow one-party consent.
So I think that would be the way it should be. But I'll give you an example, Violette. I think I know this much about this because it involves radio stations. We cannot call you live on the air and say, hey, Violette, is it your birthday? You're live on WGN Radio. That alone breaks the law. We have to call you off the air and say, is it okay for us to put you on the air? Which kills the fun of the surprise phone calls that wacky DJs used to do. Wally Phillips, famously at this radio station, would wake people up. And one time... Now, this may be apocryphal, but this is the way I believe the story is told. He calls somebody, and the woman answers the phone. He was calling for the guy. The woman who answered the phone wasn't his wife.
Ouch.
So, and the guy's like, hey, what I do in my private life is my business. You have no right to broadcast it. They didn't know, and I don't think the law protected the guy then, but it does now. You have to get their permission beforehand. My estimated probability of accuracy of that? 73%. I didn't realize I was going to have so many questions or be so angry about this. Rich, I really appreciate you coming on with us this afternoon.
Thanks, John, for having me. I appreciate being on.
Rich Lenkoff is the host of Legal Face-Off on WGNRadio.com. You just recorded a podcast, in fact, this week with Alan Dershowitz, right?
We did. Yesterday, we were able to pry Professor Dershowitz off. You know, lots of other stations he's on all the time. He has a new book called The Case Against Impeaching Trump that we talked about, as well as the Mueller situation, the Brett Kavanaugh nomination, and we also talked baseball, so it was a pretty interesting interview.
I'm sure it is. Rich Lenkoff, host of Legal Face-Off. You can get that at WGNRadio.com and listen to wherever you subscribe to find our podcast. Thanks for helping us out, Bill and Wendy. Had a great conversation with you the other day, too. I appreciate your time.
Thanks very much.
You betcha.